It is so left up to interpretation. If you can figure out where the woe and the oh goes, you're better than I am. And there's another song that we used to do a long time ago where it was a fa la 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 in the middle. And it wasn't the Christmas one, it was another one. And you would think that would be the easiest one. That's the easiest word to remember, fa or la, but for some reason we can't get it right. So let's have a word. We're going to get into God's word, so we've already prayed. So let's go ahead and if you open your Bibles to John chapter 5, we're going to continue our study in John. And we're talking about how we know Jesus is who he is and why we believe that. So I think the verses are going to be up there in a second. So if you'll follow along in chapter 5, verse 31. It says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept, what's that? Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that it might be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me and given me, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. Sorry about that. If you have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by then you possess eternal life. These scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept or praise from men, but I know you, and I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from another, yet you make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think that I will accuse you before my Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Listen to this for a moment. You ever been in a situation where you had to prove yourself? If you're friends of mine on Facebook, and I'm so popular, I have like 700 friends on Facebook. Just saying. We were talking in Bible study, by the way, just so you know. We pray for rain, but we never carry an umbrella. I'm praying for sun. I'm wearing an Aloha shirt, so the sun will be out today, right? Because I wear a shirt, right? Anyways, my point is, if you follow me on Facebook, I posted a video to my Facebook feed, and I don't know if I did that right, so I'm going to show you a little bit of the video right now. This is important, so pay attention.
We are federales, you know, the mountain police.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
All right, so listen. Theology for the day. Jesus didn't carry a badge. But if you were to walk into, let's say, I go into my kid's school, and I go in and I say, I want to visit my kids. They make me wear a badge that says I've been approved to go into the school for safety reasons, right? When you get pulled over and some guy behind you with a blue light pulls you over, first thing he does is lean over and he shows you his badge. Why do people do that? Well, it's because they want to prove the validity of their claim and their ability to exercise authority over you. So my friend the bandito says, badges? We don't need no stinking badges. And it's kind of what we're thinking about here when you see Jesus. You think about who Jesus was, and then you think about if you saw him in that time, would you have asked to see some credentials? Well, these people were asking for credentials. They expected him to prove who he was. And in the text today, we see that What he did before kind of actually went against him as far as what the Sadducees and the Pharisees believed. Because he actually healed on the Sabbath day. And the Bible says you weren't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath day. So how can you be a messenger of God or even God if you're going to work on the Sabbath? And so they were asking all these questions. And so instead of just rejoicing in the miracle of healing somebody on the Sabbath, they began to ask questions. You ever heard the term, don't look a gift horse in the mouth? Well, it's kind of what they're doing. They're like, hey, he healed somebody. Let's beat him down, right? So Jesus defended his actions by saying a couple of things. First of all, he claimed to be equal with the Father. Someone comes into our midst, he says, God, me, we're one. You're going to have some questions, as the Sadducees did and the Pharisees did. So he had made this claim that he was the Father, and he also had the claim that he had the power to give life. And he had the ability or the authority to judge. And so Jesus, as he tells them this, you can just see it on their face. So you're saying to me that you're God, you have the authority to judge, right? And you can give people life. Pretty unbelievable. So what he says in verse 31, he realizes and accepts the fact that people aren't going to believe just what he says. So what he says is, if I bear witness as myself, my witness is not true. He says that in Scripture. Now why would Jesus say, just because I say so? As a parent, when I say to my kids, because I say so, that should be the end of the discussion. Right? Have you ever said that to your kids? Because I say so? Well, it doesn't mean that his claims are false. It just means that Jesus is saying, look, I understand. You need more proof. I get that. So he doesn't say, I have a badge. So what he starts to do is he starts to talk about the Old Testament, and he mentions Deuteronomy in chapter 19, 15. He says, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning iniquity or sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses in the matter shall be established. So what he's saying is, I get it. You need more witnesses. Okay? So first of all, he's looking for an opportunity to prove there are witnesses that believe who he is. In fact, the section of Scripture, the word witness appears like nine times. And you see them kind of repeated over and over again because what they're looking for is a true witness. And so if you get in a car accident, you want to find a witness, right? You want to find somebody that saw what's going on so that they can validate your story. And so what he says is, first of all, there's the witness of the Father. Okay, he said the testimony that will verify who he is. It says there's another, verse 32, he says, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness of which he, capital H, witnesses of me is true. So who is this other witness? Well, the term other, in the original, the Greek, and the definition of the Hebrew there is allos. Allos, which is interpreted another of the same kind. So what he's saying is there's another of the same kind, just like me, it's God. God says, I am him. And so we have the authority of God. We have the witness of God. And secondly, it's not just the witness of God we have. We also have the witness of John the Baptist. Now, what did John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have in common? Their middle name, of course. So, did you see that? Man, those are for you, kiddos. Just throwing it out there. So John the Baptist, okay, he says in verse 33, let's get back to the serious stuff. You have sent John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was burning a shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. You see, John was recognized as a credible witness because he was widely known and accepted by a lot of people. There are certain people in the community that have more pull, right? Well, if I can get this guy on my side, then we'll be able to get this thing through. And so that's what the politicking does in D.C. They, well, if we can just get these senators on board, we're going to have this thing go through. It'll be great. So it's the same kind of thing. He's saying, look, remember John? You like John. Let's listen to what John has to say. So he's a credible witness because he's with recognition as a prophet. Now, John was considered a witness for Christ, and he would probably argue that he was not a prophet, or maybe he said, well, I have some prophecy tendencies about me. But what happens is John was, he didn't like the idea of being called a prophet because the prophecies were written in the Old Testament. And so, but by, if we look at John the Baptist, by birth, he was actually, he was born into a priestly family. So he was a priest by birth. And he was a prophet appointed by God. Now, what does a prophet do? Speaks truth. And back then, a prophet would tell of what is coming based upon what they knew from God. So John had fulfilled his purpose, which was to announce the coming of Christ, right? And so he identifies Christ as the long-awaited Messiah. He announced that Jesus Christ was what? He said he was a lamb that takes away the sins of the world. So he absolutely declares who Jesus was. And Jesus is the Son of God, according to verse 34 of chapter 1. The truth is that people were attracted to John for a while, but they grew tired of John. You know, anybody like that? Oh, you like your preacher for the first few years, and then we kind of get tired of the guy. You know, maybe we should go looking for somebody else. Don't do it yet, by the way. I'm not just throwing that out there. Anyways, so we get kind of tired of listening to the same guy over and over again. We think maybe if we get a new guy in here, he's going to preach something different. Well, the reality is that John didn't change the message, and because people were rejecting the message, not because the message was wrong, but because they had things happening in their life that didn't agree with the messages. They listened, but then they went on their own way. And that's the truth about today. We listen to what Jesus says. And then when we have a conflict with what he says that we're supposed to do, we look somewhere else for a different answer. And we start jumping ship. We go from church to church until we find a church that agrees with me. Listen, I don't want a church that agrees with me. I want a church that agrees with Scripture. I want a church that follows Christ. I don't want a church that follows me. I don't want somebody who's going to do exactly what I want all the time. Listen, I've grown out of that stage in my life. I know that I am erroneous in a lot of things that I do in my life because I am a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I know that I have the ability to do wrong. Therefore, I need to be in a church that seeks God. Right? So we have John the Baptist as a witness, but thirdly, we have the witness of miracles. Now see, in verse 36 it says, but I have a greater witness than John for the works the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do, I bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. What are the works he's talking about? He was a spokesman for God. He performed a miracle. Remember he told the guy, get up, take your bed and walk. The guy did. And we discussed this a little bit last week. You know, he got up and walked, and when they asked him, who healed you, he didn't know who it was. So it wasn't like he was placing his faith in God to be healed. He was just healed. Later on, Jesus says, hey, by the way, I'm the guy who healed you, remember? Oh, yeah, yeah. So they put two and two together, and they get four. And so this is what happens. The miracles of Jesus lead to who he is. If you look at John chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, it says, if I do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Jesus was putting all of the power of the miracles on God the Father. Even though he had the ability to say, hey, I'm God, therefore, put your faith in me. That's not what he says. He says at this point, I want you to see the Father who works through me because I'm his son. Nicodemus, he failed. Right? Nicodemus, you know, he was one of their religious leaders at that time, and he failed to teach the truth. And in John chapter 3, verse 2, he says that Jesus reached out and changed Nicodemus's heart. So we have these miracles that take place. One of the things that we ask, people ask me, What do you hope that happens when you witness to somebody? I said, I think the biggest thing I pray for as a person is that a miracle would happen in the life of somebody who's not a Christian. So that they can see that this came from God and no place else. You know, we have the ability to meet needs all the time. And we put miraculous things on worldly events. Oh, it was such a miracle. I got to the store this morning and there was a parking place right up front. Really? Is that the extent of God's power? To give you a parking spot? Well, you need to redefine what a miracle is. Now, if you said to me, it would be a miracle if my kids actually cleaned their bedroom. We're heading down the right path, but we're still not there. God's miraculous things are things that he did that nothing else could explain. Miracles. Fourthly, there's a witness of Scripture. It says in verse 39, he says, for you search the Scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. And these very Scriptures testify to who I am. You see, the religious leaders were stuck on the Old Testament because they were in the middle of finding out who Jesus was. So all they had to go by was the prophecy in the Old Testament. And so when you have the Old Testament, you have to look to them for guidance. And so they were very much into the Mosaic law. And the heads of the church had it in their hearts that if they were going to follow Jesus, they had to follow the law. But what does Jesus say? He says, but if you're not willing to come to me, then you might have life. Listen, we have to believe in Jesus, not the law. Jesus even has more power than the law itself. Even though the law was handed down by God through Moses, right? He says, but you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. The New Living Translation says, you refuse to come to me so that I can give you eternal life. The New American Standard says, you're unwilling to come to me. Unwillingness is defined as what? Hard-headed. You know anybody that's hard-headed? Obstinate? Inflexible? Yeah, I'm pretty flexible, right? Not physically so much, but I'm very flexible on the, you know, ideas of things. We have a new way of doing things. Listen, I'll tell you, sometimes we think that we're flexible and we're not. We don't see things the way maybe God wants us to see them. The fact is, it's not because of lack of information that we're inflexible. It's because of the lack of trust in our life. We have to trust in Jesus to let go of some of the things that we're wrapped up in. See, the very same scriptures that they were holding on to, that they lived their life by, predicted that Jesus would come in a human form. So if they're willing to believe that part of Scripture, the law that says thou shalt not and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this, if they're willing to believe all that stuff about the Sabbath and all those things that the Old Testament says, why is it so hard to believe that Jesus Christ would come as the Messiah when it said in Scripture he was going to and come miraculously through the birth of a virgin, right? So we do have the scriptures that tell us. That's a big witness right there. So that's four. What's the fifth thing? There is the witness of Moses. Now here's what it says. It says, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, and that's Moses, whom you trust. If you believe Moses, then you believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? You see, in their day, there was no other earthly judge that was more powerful than Moses. You remember when Moses brought down the commandments, he got angry because while he was gone, the children of Israel fell away. And there was a great judgment. A lot of people died, and all those things happened in the Old Testament. And so they know that Moses is well connected with somebody. Right? Moses said, you follow me, we're going to cross the Red Sea. And by the time we get to the other side, he didn't use these words, by the time we got to the other side, the waters came and killed Pharaoh and all his men. Now, I will say to you, there's some power involved in that, and that comes from God the Father. And Moses recognized that. Because Moses had authority, they were willing to trust fully in Moses, but not in what Moses talked about in Scripture. So, what's the whole point of today's message? Okay? I guess there is adequate testimony to who Jesus is. You go to court with one witness, You go to court with two, you have a better chance. You go to court, 5,000 people who were fed by a miracle. There's no way they can turn that away. What about Lazarus? Comes in and says, by the way, I was dead, now I'm not. Yeah, I smell a little funky, but I was dead, now I'm not. I'm sure the smell didn't follow him out. Anyways, if you die because you don't know Jesus, and you don't get to go to spend eternity with him, that's on you. It's not on God. Because he's given you a choice. You think, wow, Pastor, you just got really serious for a moment. Listen, I'm telling you, it's a serious thing. There was an article. Let me read part of this article to you. It says, finding the truth is as much a matter of the heart as it is the mind. A man may say, I've read the Bible, I want to believe it, but I just can't. But further conversation reveals that he's having an affair, or he's shortchanging his boss, or fudging on his income tax returns. He cannot believe when he is in that state. Nor can the woman who comes and says, I've been reading the Bible for years and I cannot believe it, but she has an unforgiving spirit. The Lord's Prayer says that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven, and that an unforgiving person is an unforgiven person. So when it comes to scriptures, there must be a yielding in our lives, a focus not on self, but on God, that we will be able to hear what the scripture says to us. You see, you can know the details of scripture. You can memorize them. But if you don't live by them, what good is it? It's like going to college to become a doctor of physiology. I don't know, whatever it is, some ology. And you decide, you know what, I spent 12 years doing this. I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to go work at McDonald's. Now listen, if you work at McDonald's, please don't be offended. But why would you work so hard and not put that degree into practice? So that's the way the world would look at it. Let me tell you the way I look at it. Why would you spend your entire life researching God's word to find out what you need to do to not do it? There are so many analogies I could draw from. We used to say, you have all this cord, but you won't plug into the wall. You drive up to the gas pumps, but you decide you're not going to get gas this time, which works great for a Toyota commercial that's trying to sell you a hybrid. But listen, the reality is you got to have gas. And the reality is, unless you want to spend an eternity separated from God, then you have to apply what you know. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, says that people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Do you know people that are eternally students? They love to be a student. They love to learn. And then when you challenge them and say, okay, so what are you doing with all that knowledge? I'm learning more. Say, well, who are you sharing that knowledge with? Well, I'm going to get my second master's degree, my second doctorate. I know people that are so smart, they're stupid. If that makes sense. They got all this stuff they know, but they're not sharing it with anybody. God says you have the knowledge of truth, put it into practice. You can know the Bible and not know Jesus. It doesn't matter what else you know about scripture or anything else if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you may be wrong in not having a relationship with Jesus, but this morning you can make that right if you just simply say yes to him. Right? So, one witness, it's okay. But we have five this morning that point us to who Jesus is. What do you do with that knowledge? How many witnesses is it going to take for you to finally put your trust in Jesus? Now, Christian, before you think, oh, he's not talking to me this morning, it's for somebody else. I will say to you that even as a pastor, I don't always put my trust in Jesus when I know it's the best thing for me. So if you've been a seasoned Christian, we used to call them seasoned saints. That was the Sunday school class that you only graduated to one place. Right? It was that 70 and above class. I don't know why they always called it the Dorcas class, but it was called the Dorcas class when I was a kid. It's a name in the Bible. As a kid, Dorcas meant something completely different. I'm like, you like going to the Dorcas class? Little old lady says, yeah, Danny, here, have another cookie and some punch. I'm like, fine, I'll eat the cookie and punch. And I quit asking about the Dorcas class because I figured they had cookies and punch in there. They're cool with me. Anyway, my point is this. Senior saints, you're never too old to change your life. Young person, you're never too young to put God in front. Okay? You think you get the world by the horns. Listen. You're not supposed to control the world. God does. Let him control the world. You go along for the ride. And I guarantee you that if you put your trust in Jesus, the ride will go a lot better. You'll see more things. Because listen, if you've ever planned an all-inclusive vacation, you know it's not really all-inclusive. But I will tell you that Jesus has an all-inclusive plan for your life. He wants you to have every blessing that he has set out for you. You have to put your trust in him. Don't expect God's blessings if you don't trust him. Now, I'm getting dangerously close to saying, well, you can have whatever you want. That's not what I'm saying. Because your wants will change. You will want what God wants. So, everybody's got a little challenge this morning, right? So what is yours? What's your answer to God this morning? What are you going to do with the knowledge that you gained this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you have brought us here, that you've put us in a place where we can ask these questions and answer these questions. I pray that you would help us as we come to the end of the service, as we examine our lives and see where this scripture applies to us. I pray that you would help us to see that there are so many things that lead us to you. There's no way we cannot see you in the midst of them. But Father, if there's somebody this morning who's been blinded by the world, by a relationship, by sin, I pray that you would just take the blinders off of them right now. Father, that you would remove them, that you would they would see what it is that they need to do in their life and give up what they need to give up, Father, so they can have quality time with you. Father, for those of us who might be struggling with our relationship with you, Father, that we have surrendered our life to you, but yet we've taken a little bit of that back. I pray that you would help us to remember to keep laying that on the altar this morning. That we offer you our lives, the good and the bad. We thank you for who you are and for sending your son, Jesus, to die for us. In Jesus' name.